So I'm Zach Carlson.
And I'm Brian Connolly.
And we wasted 8 years of our lives writing a book called Destroy All Movies, The Complete Guide to Punks on Film, which celebrated all of the misrepresented and insane punks in the 80s movies that we love. And Surf 2 is what? Maybe one of the top three greatest depictions of punks in any movie ever.
Definitely. And it came out in the magic year of 1983, which also had Joysticks, which is the arcade-based punk movie, Get Crazy, which is just an insane, batshit crazy, how would you describe that movie? Like crazy concert, all-night concert, New Year's Eve movie?
It's like a Mad Magazine parody of people on drugs.
And it came out, and 83 was also when Penelope Spheeris's Suburbia came out.
Which I consider to be the best movie ever made.
And it's interesting because that movie is sort of like a drama, and this movie's not.
That's true. In fact, I would posit that this movie is the opposite of dramas. I'm coughing right now because I'm drinking. I don't drink caffeine ever. I'm drinking a Sour Patch Kids energy drink to get into the true party spirit of Surf 2. It's working. I'm wild. Some of these actors are going to come through. There's a tremendous amount of TV talent that ended up in this movie. Lyle Wagner was on the Carol Burnett Show, and he was an odd duck on the comedy circuit because he was so goddamn handsome that you would never think that he'd be capable of being hilarious. But he was. And then there was Horshack, Ron Palillo from Welcome Back, Kotter, and Chief Boyardee, that's right. That's the best name. And this is a ton of TV guys, but Peter Isaacson had been on CPO Sharky with Don Rickles, which also had a punk episode where you got to see right. Don Rickles watch the Dickies perform. Anyway, we immediately get into some really intense horror right here. I hope you can keep your wits about you. Oh, talk about Biff Maynard.
Oh man, he is so good. Like he's so good at Trancers. He was a dependable sort of like dad looking character actor.
But he was so zany. Like he was like a drunk uncle, like on like 45 RPM. What's interesting about this, there's a lot of famous names in here. Ruth Buzzy was huge. She was from Laugh-In, but she kind of had this career that lasted for decades after. She was on all of the Dean Martin roasts and all those shows. But she and all these other people were in a movie by a first-time director, Randall Baddett. He just meant to write the screenplay. He didn't expect to be the director. And suddenly he's dealing with like Cleavon Little and all of these very successful, you know, adult actors.
Yeah.
A bunch of unsuccessful teenage actors.
So we just saw Eric Stoltz, who I don't believe for a second is a surfer, because look at that redhead. He would burn up in a second on the beach.
That's
like,
true.
What kind of crispy sunscreen would that guy be using?
Now, this is Johnny Bighead, who I argue may be the main character when I watch this movie. I look at him as the king. Him and Eddie Deason. You can see the silver spray paint on his nose from the fake fence. But there's not a lot of care taken to, you know, with those types of things. And this here's Peter Isaacson. So maybe genuinely the most awkward man ever. He's like something that fell off of Stephen King.
Interesting fact about him. He directed 13 episodes of the 80s redo of The Munsters called The Munsters Today, which also starred Ruth Buzzy as Dracula's mom.
That show was pretty rugged.
I never heard of it till today.
And I believe, there on the right, Tom Villard was a really great, fun character actor. He was around until the early 90s. He passed away. But like reliable, he's a total goober. Like couldn't even help it and really made the most of it. And the guy on the left,
Ralph Seymour.
Right.
I love Ralph Seymour. He's like the 80s version of a Bowery boy. And you might recognize him as the man who aided Francis in stealing Pee-wee's bike in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
And he's also Randy, the shitty puppet on Pee-wee's Playhouse, who's always causing trouble.
Oh, really?
I believe so. Doesn't that make sense? I'm almost sure that's true.
That does make sense.
Let's just pretend that's true.
Going back to Tom Villard, he's so good at popcorn. And I recently watched My Girl, and he's in My Girl as a stoned-out hippie.
He's even on the Golden Girls.
Oh, really?
He died young, but he lived long in his career. Oh, no, nudity. Turn it off, Brian.
Wait a minute. Did Abel Ferrara make this movie?
Johnny Bighead's butt.
Man. There's a scene like this in Joysticks.
There really is. There's a lot of mooning back then. A
lot of mooning back in the 80s. That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever mooned anybody, Brian?
I would never.
You wouldn't do that?
It's weird.
My God. Go ahead.
It's just weird to see Lyle Wagner in a movie for kids. Or not kids, but like for a cool, what's supposed to be a cool movie, like Lyle Wagner and Ruth Buzzi. I don't know what, you know, like Teen Market, they're aiming for big fans of the Carol Burnett Show, I guess. And people who use Star Wagons.
Oh, let's talk about Star Wagons. So Lyle Wagner, as you can see here, he's already middle-aged. He's already made a career for himself. But then he embarks on a new business venture where he creates the mobile toilets for movie and TV shoots. And they called him Star Wagons, and with wagons with 2G, like his last name, Wagner. And they were a huge hit. And Lyle Wagner made a fortune off of providing toilets for the celebrity set in Hollywood for decades. And he only passed away last year sitting on a giant pile of toilet money.
They're still used. Like last time we were both in LA, Zach, we saw them all over the place. Like they're maybe forever, a forever thing, because you always need a toilet.
I've urinated in the Star Wagon myself.
Wow. How was it?
It was the greatest experience of my life. No, but I really did. It was like on the, Greasy Strangler, we had Star Wagon.
So oh, wow.
I used it. So here, it's like right here, it's like, okay, you're a first-time director. You're in your 20s. We're talking about Randall Baddett. And you've got Cleavon Little from Blazing Saddles, who's a legend. You've got a guy from The Carol Burnett Show, which is one of the funniest TV series of all time. And then you've got Peter Isaacson, who's Peter Isaacson.
And this is Eric Stoltz, fresh off of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where he played a stoner. And this was sort of like his first big movie. This is like right before Mask. This is before he was fired from Back to the Future. Like he had a lot of hope ahead of him, Eric Stoltz.
Oh, this song right here is an exclusive Oingo Boingo track that was made just for this movie called Hold Me Back. Oingo Boingo were a huge band in Southern California at the time. Only in Southern California, but they were like a big deal. And this is one of several songs that were originals for the movie because there was supposed to be a big soundtrack release, like how Repo Man kind of gained more popularity theatrically because the soundtrack was a hit. But the soundtrack never came out. So there's all these like unique songs, you know, to famous bands that only exist if you watch this movie.
I just want to point out that the cinematographer on this is Alec Phillips Jr., who worked on Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. And then maybe that makes sense why we have the slow-mo shots of surfing and babes getting wet. That feels very Sam Peckinpah.
For a while, I thought Sam Peckinpah directed this movie, but turns out not the case. It was Robert Altman. No, the director, Randall Baddett, is an amazing guy. And he just fell into this job because they liked the screenplay so much. They're like, you do it. And he was terrified. But I think he did as strong of a job as, like, you know, for instance, Joysticks was Graydon Clark's, like, what, seventh movie or something? Fifth movie?
Yeah.
And this movie is as assured and as entertaining as any of that. So good job, Mr. Randall Baddick.
And that's Corinne Borer, who's sort of like the unsung queen of 80s comedies. She was also in Joysticks, Zapped, Stewardess School, Police Academy 4. She is so good, and I feel like she doesn't quite get the credit she deserves for being one of the great 80s teen actresses.
I think it's honestly because she didn't ever feel the need to be naked in the movies. Like, she always just played a character very well. And unfortunately, at the time, it was like, who are the bikini babes, you know? And Corinne Borer like did her own thing and she's better. Oh, first scene of the punks. We're getting to the punks. This is very important, everybody. Put down your Bible.
So there was a lot of weird like punk beach surfing comedies in the 80s. For whatever reason, this was the first one. But there was also Back to the Beach,
right?
Which is a great, great movie. That's an Annette Funicello, Frankie Avalon reboot, but with punks and Pee Wee Herman. And then there's also Surf Nazis Must Die. So that was definitely a thing, you know?
Surf Nazis Must Die is a really underappreciated movie.
That's so good.
But there's no question that Surf 2 is the best of all of these.
What? Were there actual punks that surfed? Was that a thing?
I mean, not that I saw. Like, there were hardcore guys that got into surfing in the 90s, but that's like a zen thing. But I never saw like wild ass, like, you know, strip mall maniac punks with surfboards in my life. All right, here we got Biff Maynard on the right.
And then on the left is Morgan Paul, whom you may recognize as the guy at the beginning of Blade Runner who talks about a turtle and dies.
That's what he deserves. You don't talk about turtles. Not in my house, you don't.
So, Zach, were there any, like, surf punk bands? I mean, there was one in Erg, there was the surf punks.
Yeah, they sucked. But, yeah, there was a whole surf punk, like, music scene. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff out of Redondo Beach. I mean, there's, like, skate punk and all that, but it wasn't that far.
Agent Orange is kind of surf-like. They do a lot of Dick Dale stuff.
They're great. Yeah. That first record's the king.
Oh, yeah.
So you're seeing these punks here, but you're not sure exactly how they came to be. Like, they were pulled down into the water, and you think some insidious force, like some like evil villainous genius, you know, is behind this, which is the case. But it's really some of the greatest casting ever. I'm already feeling this energy drink.
Oh, good.
So Johnny Bighead, who's our token fat guy, he was in a few other movies. I think he was in Superstition and a bunch of stuff, but he had a short career. But he's kind of got this like supernatural power throughout the movie just to like, accomplish anything. He's like the dream machine. And he's got the greatest tagline. Bow, bow. There he goes. That's a video game. That can't happen.
So all of these 80s boner comedies have this sort of like fat guy. I mean, not to be rude, but that's what they refer to. Like kind of the big guy who likes to eat a bunch, and he's kind of the slobby guy character. Clearly all based on John Belushi's character from Animal House.
Yeah.
But I would say that the one in this movie, he is the most handsome of all of them.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
He has a chiseled head. And then this movie actually has many kind of like fat party animals in it, as you'll see later. There's like more than one, like maybe more than any 80s set boner comedy.
Is there three total?
At least.
And the other ones are stars unto themselves, which we will discuss when they arrive.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Linda Carriage.
Yeah.
Let's talk about her. She came from
Fade
Australia.
Fade to Black was the first movie I ever saw her in.
Yeah. And she came to LA. She was like Jenny Wright, where it's like, oh, who's this striking blonde woman? And then she acted a bit and then returned to Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if she knows Olivia Newton-John.
I'm sure that they live together. So apparently this was written to be a much more Close Encounters style attack, and then they just had five lights instead. Although this footage is great. I believe this is reused from like an old 60s TV series.
Bonanza?
Yeah, probably Bonanza. But yeah, Linda Carriage is really great. I mean, she kind of plays a little bit robotic in this movie, but that's part of the character. But she's very sympathetic. Oh, and here is our evil genius.
Oh, my
goodness.
The king. The king of all movies.
Where do we start? Where do we start, Brian?
If you don't know, like, if you don't know who Eddie Deason is, if this is your first time, which wouldn't make any sense to me at all because he's in everything, he was the quintessential 80s nerd. Like, he was, like, if you needed a nerd, like, you get Eddie Deason. Like, and he was in Grease, was sort of like Grease and I Want to Hold Your Hand was sort of his big breakthroughs. Then he was in 1941. He's great in that. He's also in War Games, Midnight Madness. He's just Critters 2. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that performance is the best.
And like, he's kind of like, you know, he basically, like, I don't know if this is how he is in real life. Maybe you can tell me, Zach, because you've actually met him. But he's very much a Jerry Lewis-like, you know, character in every movie he's in. And very much like Jerry Lewis in the Martin Lewis comedy, That's My Boy, which kind of was the first time where Jerry Lewis plays a nerd.
Right.
And why wasn't Eddie Deason in Revenge of the Nerds?
That's one of the greatest mysteries of cinema.
Right? But, oh, wait, they fucked that up. Oh, my God.
Let's talk about this, and then we'll go back to Deason.
So this is, like, true art. This is a type of thing you'd see in, say, a Peter Greenaway film or a Ken Russell film. But why waste it in such highbrow nonsense when instead we can be in this great blue-collar movie like Surf 2 enjoying this amazing shot? So this is one shot with a split stage. It's one of the best scenes I've ever seen. It's so amazing. How apparently, long do you think it took to do this?
Apparently Ruth Buzzi and the other actors were just like, they just stayed up all night at the hotel and they did it, and they showed up on set and they nailed it on the second take.
It's brilliant. I've never seen anything like this in a movie ever before or since.
No, it's really incredible. And especially from a first-time director to pull this off, it's unbelievable.
It's really ambitious. For like, when you watch movies from this era, you know, they're, a lot of the boner comedies are kind of thrown together. They're kind of cheap. They're a way to make money off of, you know, ripping off of Porky's. But this movie, I feel more so than any other of the genre, really aims to be different and interesting and like taking chances and just being as crazy and wild as it can be with the shots, with the performances, with the film.
Oh, wait, watch this. This is great. This sums up Johnny Bighead. That's his brother.
That's no way to treat your brother.
You've treated your brother like that. So,
yeah.
Johnny Bighead's catchphrase is a bow bow. And it's stupid as shit, but for some reason it's infectious. And after you watch the movie, how many times have you and I said a bow bow in the last 25 years to each other?
Every day I wake up and I say it.
That's true. I'm next to you, so that's every day. So, this, oh, and here is Terry Kaiser. Oh, AKA man. Bernie of Weekend at Bernie's.
Also in Tammy the T-Rex and Mannequin 2 on the Move.
Basically every important film of the century. It's interesting too, because Terry Kaiser has a real intensity playing a villain.
Yeah.
And he's just the hippie dad here. But he still makes it work. He's a professional.
Do you think they couldn't afford Frederick Forrest, so they got Terry Kaiser?
Yeah, Freddie Forrest, he just made Valley Girl. He was sitting pretty. He didn't need this shit.
So, I mean, was the budget all for the soundtrack? Like, to be able to use, like, Beach Boys and stuff? That seems like that's a pretty penny.
Yeah, I would think. But Capitol Records, I think, had funded the soundtrack because they were, you know, expressly interested in releasing it. And then I don't know if it was the ticket sales or... they just watched the movie and thought, there's too many butts in this. But they backed out. But it's crazy because there's like many popular bands that did exclusive songs for it.
I mean, that Oingo Boingo song we heard earlier is maybe my favorite song of theirs. And it kills me really that good. I've never been able to like own an album with it on it.
Johnny Big Head. A Bobo. I think if I... had to choose, if I was only allowed to say one word for the rest of my life, I would choose a bow bow.
That's more than one word.
No way! It's hyphenated.
Oh, okay.
So this is interesting because Eric Stoltz is like, he's obviously the pretty boy, but he actually like lets himself get goofy in this movie, which you don't really see after that. Oh, more token fat boys. Let's talk.
Oh my gosh. So,
Who dat?
Fred Asparagus.
Right.
That's his name. You may know him as Joe Mama Besser from This Is Spinal Tap as one of the drummers. He's also the bartender in The Three Amigos.
Who goes, fattenings?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
and then the other guy you may recognize,
yeah, Joysticks. That's Jim Greenleaf, who played McDorfus in Joysticks. And in Joysticks, maybe the slobbiest of all movie slobs. Okay,
yeah, pretty...
these shots were added later. They added additional unwanted breasts, but that shot was always there. Oh, no. Hairy anuses.
See, so now we're at three 80s, like, you know, Belushi-esque guys, like three Pudge Bros in this movie. That's amazing.
And all of them do their part. Like, all of them have their own identity. Yeah. These guys really figure in later. Important plot points. I wonder what became of the actor on the right. Let's see.
He's in one of the Friday the 13th movies, I think. Isn't he like in part two or three? He looks very familiar. He's too handsome for me to recognize. He's that kind of handsome like Ryan Gosling, where I just am blinded by how handsome they are that I don't recognize them on the street.
And here's Eddie Deason again.
He has so many good hats in this movie, or things on his head.
Yes. And as you were saying earlier, like his behavior, this is no shit, no joke. Eddie Deason really acts like this in his daily life 24/7. This is him. You know, it's like even Gilbert Gottfried puts on a character, but Eddie Deason is the realest of deals. Like, no joke.
So why don't you talk about the time that you met him?
Okay. Well, Eddie Deason, we interviewed him for our Destroy All Movies book, and I took him out to his favorite breakfast spot, and all the waiters knew him, and they're like, same as usual, Eddie. He's like, oh, yes, please, thank you very much. And he got his food, and as we were walking out of the restaurant, we'd done a great interview, where he was very insightful. Eddie Deason actually said, all actors are compensating for something that they were missing in their childhood. And I was like, that's insightful, you know, like, that's brilliant. He's very open about it. But we were walking in the parking lot, and then this blue sports car went and like whizzed right by us. And Eddie Deason shook his little puny fist and he said, look out, you maniac. Oh, it's John Stamos.
Was it really John Stamos?
It was really John Stamos, who almost like.
What does John Stamos have it in for Eddie Deason? Why? Why does he want to?
I think they've been mortal enemies for centuries, like Highlander.
That's great. Judd Stamos, star of Never Too Young to Die, another great 80s punk comedy action, whatever genre this film.
Top 10, for sure.
So Terry Kaiser is about to do something really weird that I find very fascinating.
The Terry Kaiser move?
That. That's how he impresses Babe.
And they laugh and they're in love. This is the softest Terry Kaiser, right? Like, he always played like an intense villain or a corpse.
I think maybe the key is he doesn't have a mustache here, and that's what makes him softer.
I'll accept that. What's interesting is Corinne Borer, she was in this movie, she was in Joysticks, she was in so many movies. And when you talk to her about them, she has no memory whatsoever. And it wasn't that she was like using drugs, she was just like, I don't know, I was 19. I don't remember. And she's nice, she wants to help. All right, this scene is certainly built on a foundation of gratuitous nudity, but it does have one of the great line deliveries of the entire film, which you would not expect to come from Eric Stoltz, comedy king Eric Stoltz.
Remember in the 90s when Eric Stoltz was in every movie, independent movie ever made? Like, if you had a movie, there was an indie movie in New York, somehow Eric Stoltz like was legally obligated to be in it.
Yeah. It wasn't just Killing Zoe. Yeah, he'd just like show up as like an ex-boyfriend, you know, or whatever. You're right. Apparently that contract has fallen through because I've not seen a Stoltz in a good while. He's
Bring
even in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
He's in everything. So this guy is only in seven movies. And you're right, it was Friday the 13th Part 3 he was in.
Oh, yeah.
But he stopped.
I've seen that movie many times. I don't remember him. I'm sorry, man.
I mean, he does
handsome
job
white
here.
Men. Handsome He's white good. Guys. They blind me.
Yeah, this movie's pretty white. Aside from Cleavon Little and Fred Asparagus, I think it's all whites.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. Also, when they're on the beach for long enough, their skin does not stay white. So maybe that helps. Oh, yeah, Corinne Borer. She's up to, she's trying to figure out what her boyfriend's up to with these other ladies. So it's funny because in this movie, she's like very conservative, kind of like comparatively to most party characters. But in Joysticks, she is like the squeakiest, spazziest valley girl ever.
And then in Stuart of School, she's a punk, right? Isn't she a punk in that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then does she date Bobcat Goldthwait in Police Academy 4? Aren't they like a couple in that movie?
I think she just hangs out because he wants to date that old lady.
That's right.
Yeah, Bobcat Goldthwait's got a thing for the grandmama.
Yeah. Oh, so on the left there,
Juan Palillo.
If you are a big fan of Welcome Back, Kotter, also in a Friday 13th movie, the best one, Friday 13th Part 6, Jason Lives. He's
you're right. And if you can't get enough Ron Palillo horror, he's also in the movie Hellgate, which I recommend.
Is Horseshack your favorite sweat hog?
Yeah, for sure.
Really, mine's Epstein. But.
Mm. As a Jewish person, I can't relate to Epstein for some reason. I'm eating Sour Patch Kids to break up the Sour Patch energy drink taste. Oh no, nudity again. Call the grandma, call the police, call the America. Wait, here's a good line.
Hey, you guys are nude.
Very Yeah. It's true, he told the truth.
Remember when Michael Douglas said that same line in Basic Instinct? Here we go. Oh no, he didn't.
I wish. Ron Palillo's having a good time here. He died very young. Why is that? Why did he decide to do that?
Only the good die young. As Billy
and
Jill
Ron Palillo.
Yeah.
All right. This is a movie where everyone is having fun, and you can feel it. Like, you really can. Is there anybody who seems like they're not having the best time?
No, because, like, how could you handle one day on the seventh movie if you were, like, could Jason Patrick handle being in this movie? No way.
No.
If you're a serious guy or gal, you wouldn't be able to handle day one. Because
no.
Every day looked like fun. Though supposedly a very professional set, according to Eddie Deason. He said that Randall Baddett ran a tight ship and they did a good job.
Well, I believe it. Oh, that's a great explosion. I love it. So they were shooting down in these beaches that are kind of south of like Santa Monica, which were not, you know, like tourist beaches. They were more locals. And a lot of the toxic waste stuff, you're going to hear this on the commentary with the director Randall Baddett, but like the toxic waste gags in this movie are based on the fact that there was actually toxic waste being dumped into the surfing area of these beaches. No joke.
Who was doing that?
It was just like some like, you know, plastics manufacturer, but they were like actually poisoning the water with toxic waste. So let's make a comedy about it.
There was a lot of 80s comedies about kind of pollution and, you know, that was ripe for comedy. Like,
yeah, Twin Sitters is about that with the Barbarian Brothers.
Oh, that movie's great.
Mm-hmm.
I know you boys must think this is all one. So why is this movie called Surf 2 if there's no first surf movie? Why did they do that?
I guess they thought sequels were funny.
I mean, the only other time I remember somebody doing that was Leonard Part 6, the ill-fated anti-vegetarian Bill Cosby non-comedy.
The ill-fated Bill Cosby.
Is there any other movie other than those two? I think that's it for fake sequels, right?
No, Unmasked Part 25.
Oh!
One. The fake slasher. Are those the only ones?
That's gotta be it.
There's some great Tom Villard. I remember, you know what? I saw a commercial for this movie. Like the trailer played on television, and this scene was in it.
Did it work? When was the first time you saw this movie?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think I was still in my teens. I would vacuum at this local video store, and then they'd let me take home three movies. Once a week. And I believe I rented this, Demons, and Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, wow. Was that the first time for all three?
Yeah, that's the first time I'd seen those movies.
That is maybe the best triple feature I've ever heard of.
I went pretty
Holy moly.
I was only 14.
Oh. Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they didn't care if it was rated R. All right, so here's Eddie Deason. And as you pointed out, he wears a different hat. He's like, He's like Sidney Lumet. He wears a different hat in every scene.
Yeah, he's a man of many hats.
The costume design of the punks is incredible, and you found something out about the costume design.
Oh no, it's the makeup. So one of the makeup artists in this movie was Greg Canham, who went on to be like this multiple Oscar-winning makeup artist. Like he won Oscars for Mrs. Doubtfire, Vice, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. He's like a big deal makeup, and he's been nominated many, many times. And this is one of his earlier films.
I assume nominated for this, right?
This movie is funnier than Benjamin Button.
Yet it's not stupider. So the Buzz Cola thing is really exciting because there's so many different like Buzz Cola product boxes, and I'd like to believe that there's still a bottle of Buzz Cola somewhere that I can be buried with in my grave.
In my mind, it's supposed to be like Jolt. Is that sort of why you're drinking an energy drink right now?
Yeah, I want to drink this Buzz Cola.
I do like sort of the anti-cola sentiment that this film has. Like, I think that it's okay.
You know, as they say in the history books, in the cola wars, nobody wins. But, oh yeah. So also I think it's great that Linda Carriage comes to the U.S., stars in like one or two movies, and then she gets this film where her romantic opposite is Eddie Deason.
Do you think that's why she ran away back to Australia? She was like, I thought it was going to be Richard Gere. Instead, it was Eddie Deason.
She's like, it can't go anywhere but down from here. I might as well go home.
Like Eddie Deason with Morgan Fairchild in Mob Boss.
Oh, yeah. Eddie Deason has acted opposite many glamorous women. I can't watch this part because I'm terrified of frogs.
Cover your phobia. Eyes.
So I'm going to shut my eyes. This part, the E.T. scene, the Holy Mountain, too many frogs in goddamn movies.
Have you ever seen Magnolia?
Yeah, I saw that a lot.
My apologies.
Yeah, that part's
frogs.
Very disturbing.
I mean, it's a great movie, but that part is upsetting. That must have been like watching a Holocaust footage to you.
I saw it with you.
Oh, that's right. I'm old, I forgot.
Yeah, so this scene has a really gross moment that I'm going to like vomit.
You should try to vomit on commentary. Has anyone ever vomited live on commentary?
A vomitary? Ah!
I'll tell you when it's over. Just cover your eyes. I'll tell you when it's over.
All right.
Just think like calm thoughts. Think like rainbows. And
okay.
Candy. What's your favorite candy?
Why, my favorite candy ever?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's a great question. I am very partial to these delicious Sour Patch Kid Blue Razz.
Oh, man. It's still going. Don't look.
Oh, boy.
What is your favorite soda? You're not a cola drinker. What's the kind of soda you like?
There's a soda called Oso Butterscotch Root Beer that's delicious. So one time, Brian and I, we were in Japan, and we were walking along a river, and we heard this loud sound that went, burp. I said, what's that noise? And then I realized it was a giant frog. And I ran up a diagonal embankment of concrete into traffic.
Well, then we were on a mountain, and you ran down. Oh, no, that was another time on the same trip. A few days later, we were climbing up a mountain. You heard an F word, and you were so scared that you ran down the entire mountain, and we caught up with you like hours later.
Yeah, I fell down first. I fell on the ground and then ran. I'm an idiot. Okay.
I wish I had the same phobia.
So you could run fast like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Villard has a frog sticking out of his mouth. I'm not down.
It's almost over. Don't worry.
I once met a woman who went on a date with him.
Really?
Yeah.
With Peter Isaacson? How was it?
Well, I don't want to get into his business, but... She said he was very nice. Peter Isaacson is a wonderful man, she said.
I bet he's a real smooth, that guy.
Yeah. He's got all the moves. He's the Rudolph Valentino.
He should play Stephen King in a movie now. Someone should make a movie about his life starring him.
Yeah. Or vice versa. What if they do a body swap?
Let's do a Freaky Friday with Stephen King and Peter Isaacson. That's great. Yeah.
And all the scenes that Lyle Wagner is in, he really elevates them. Like, I gotta say, Cleavon Little seems like he's kind of like getting the paycheck. Like, he doesn't seem that into it. But Chief Boyardee is giving it his all.
I feel this movie really goes for a lot of like gross gags, like more so. Like, most boner comedies don't go into gross stuff. Like, I mean, they'll do like gross sex stuff, but this kind of goes into like goopy.
Like Mad Balls sort of Garbage Pail Kids sort of shit.
Yeah. Oh, Garbage Pail Kids is a great comparison. Yeah. It's just kind of gross. And see, and now we're seeing this set from the other angle. So if you thought it was a split screen, look, no, this is like.
But it's no less impressive because, like, it's not like they're queuing off each other. Like, they are totally synchronized.
It's amazing. It really is amazing.
Apparently, Ruth Buzzi was approached to be part of this release that we're on, but she will only do cameos. She will not do commentaries. So she'll say, like, happy birthday.
But will she make a cameo on this commentary? Maybe she can pop in and say happy birthday.
We should try to do that. But it's all right. This to me is the apex of her non-laughing career.
I kind of have a crush on her in this movie, I gotta say.
She looks great.
I think like her and Bette Midler were maybe the ultimate women of the 80s for me.
For me, I would say Eddie Deason is the ultimate woman of the 80s for me.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Spending 2 days with Eddie Deason was really a surreal experience.
How can I do this? There's a contest that I can enter so I can win that. He should be in movies again, really.
Yeah, he should.
He does a lot of
This is okay. The best punk scene in the movie, I think. Because Tom Villard goes truly rabid. And I can't imagine another actor giving it this level. Like, who else would have done this? I guess John Grise.
Yeah.
Who played King Vidiot in Joysticks. But look at this.
What is this music playing?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Whoa.
I'm trying to figure it out. It kind of sounds like Circle Jerks. I'll figure it out. But this is Tom Villard at his best.
So, like, it's interesting, in the 80s, when you knew your kid went bad, when things went wrong, it's because they went punk. Like, that was sort of like, in the 50s, you had sort of your greasers, your beatniks. In the 60s, you had hippies, 60s and 70s. And in the 80s, like, if your kid became a punk, that means your kid went real rotten. He went, like, that's what Class of 1984 is about. And, so, like, drinking cola and turning into a punk is, like, the parents' worst nightmare.
Yeah, it got so bad that there was actually an after-school special called The Day My Kid Went Punk that, to its credit, was educating parents about, like, hey, if your kid goes punk, it's not that bad. Because there had been so many news stories prior to that where it was like an hour-long news special about, like, if your kid goes punk, like, just shoot him. Just kill him. Like, it's over. There was an L.A. one called We Destroy the Family that was just, like, all scare tactics about if your kid becomes a punk, it's like, he will murder you. So Peter Isaacson is so truly awkward. Like, I can't think of someone more so.
Him just doing all this, like, surfer lingo. It's so funny.
Yeah. Like, he knew exactly who he was.
He's also, very... What?
He's 6'4".
Oh, I believe it. He looks like a tall boy.
Yeah. This movie wasn't made in 2021.
I like the idea of going to a movie theater just to watch footage of people surfing, even though this is what all these people do during the week with their free time.
But this was a real thing. Like, this was an industry. There was there's like surfing and there was snowboarding movies like this where it's literally 90 minutes of this footage just played for people that are enthusiasts. Very strange. But I mean, this was like decades, like for 2 decades they made these movies.
Yeah, and I mean, there was, you know, skateboarding videos in the 80s, like the Bones Brigade and all that stuff. So, I mean, I get it.
But it's just like, yeah, movie theater people just being like, oh, like Wicked Pipe, you know.
And now there's just YouTube and this community is killed forever.
Yep.
You can't go to the theater and enjoy this. You just watch it on your phone in a dark room.
But hopefully you can go to the theater and enjoy Surf 2. Because there's multiple prints. And in fact, also on this disc is a rare unseen director's cut with a bunch of different footage. Now, look how great Linda Carriage's outfit is in this shot. Look how cool she looks. Amazing. Yeah. It's like she's every character in Xanadu at once. God, she looks good. That's so cool.
This would be a good Halloween costume for any couple, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, don't step on that. No.
Doo-doo. Johnny Bighead loved it.
But now there's like doo-doo smeared into the floor of the movie theater and it's got to smell bad. So everyone's going to just, was that prank worth it?
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
So this is there's two scenes in the movie where they kind of like really dig into the surf thing. But the audience looks about as enthused as we are. But then of course Eddie Deason's saving the day.
So Eddie Deason for the last many decades has just done animated stuff. He just does voice work, which makes sense because he has an amazing voice, but it's sad that his presence hasn't been seen in a motion picture for some time.
What's weird is in the Polar Express, isn't it kind of like a caricature of him?
That is true. Yes.
Oh no!
I like it that it makes a tape breaking sound even though it's film breaking. How does that work?
Because punks ate it.
Still got it.
Yeah, if you enjoyed this scene of punks destroying a film, we recommend the movie Grotesque,
Punks and the greatest ending ever that includes a scene very similar to this of a movie theater breaking down.
Look at how happy he is with his evil punks. Go to sleep.
So, has Eddie Deason, what are the movies Eddie Deason's played a villain in?
Well, that's a good question. I'd say in Laser Blast, he plays a villain because there's a scene where he's trying to hold a woman down so she can be assaulted.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's very poor behavior on his character's part.
That is froggy. I don't like that.
We had a long conversation. Eddie Deason's name in this movie is Menlo Schwartzer. And I asked him, I said, have you ever played a character named like Jeff or Lewis? And I'm like, no, he's like, I'm always Irving or like Schmendlich or something. But this character's name was originally Stinky Schwartzer. And he's like, that's too far. I will not accept this name. I do not want to be Stinky. So
that's
I believe
he draws the line.
He drew the line at Stinky. He's not having it. So he got Menlo. But yeah, he's never played, you know, Michael. That's like not a Eddie Deason.
Very similar to George Buck Flower in that way. Like he's also a great character actor in the 80s and 70s who played homeless people all the time. And he always had names like Stew Pot Bill, and he was never just like Michael.
Yeah. He like there's like 80% of his filmography is like Vagrant, Hobo, Wino, Drunk, and then Pappy Putz is one of his characters.
But yeah, Deason, he plays like various Melvins and different nerd names.
It was really an incredible experience to like watch him step off the bus coming to the Surf 2 reunion screening that we did many years ago and just being Eddie Deason all the time. He can't help it. He called a friend and he's like, yeah, I'm at the theater. I'm in here now. I'm going to be at the theater. And I was like, that's really him. Like, there's no bullshit. He is the truest man in Hollywood.
Yeah. This part's amazing.
Yeah, you have special feelings about this.
It looks like they really did it. You know, they really destroyed this. Roger Ebert would have hated this part because Roger Ebert had a thing where if they destroyed a classic car in a movie, he automatically like gave it a thumbs down. It was like he couldn't get into Christine. He couldn't get into any movie. where a classic car is destroyed, it just killed him.
I heard he removed one star. That was the rule. If they destroyed
a
classic
car,
one star off. No matter how good your movie is, one star down.
Is that why Gandhi got 3 stars from him?
Yeah, because Gandhi flipped that old T-Bird in that movie.
More Beach Boys.
Was there ever a movie where Gandhi and Johnny Big Head were together? Was there ever a movie where Gandhi said a bow bow?
Like the actual Gandhi or Ben Kingsley?
Either one. I'll go take either one.
I don't know. I have to go check my Leonard Maltin guide.
Oh, this was an actual mistake. Custom surboards and grocery. Randall Baddett said like they were on set and they're like, oh shit.
A pizza mark.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened in real life. There was a pizza place in Seattle that misspelled their own name. They were open for 6 weeks before I told them. They were very upset.
How are you open for 6 weeks and not notice the name of your business is wrong?
Because you're too busy making the worst pizza in town to be bothered with your sign.
It was a pizza marked, but the sign said a pizza mark?
Yeah, it was marked, like M-A-R-T. And it said a pizza mark. And I was like, wait, what's going on here? So anyway. Okay, so here's Biff Maynard, like, really going nuts.
So what's that Biff Maynard, Tim Thomerson, World War II, like, bug movie?
So Biff Maynard, as you can see, is grabbing his crotch. He's acting like a drunk uncle. He's specialized in, like, just very, you know, rude comedic behavior. Yet, he played a serious role as a soldier fighting alongside aliens to beat Hitler in the movie Zone Troopers, which also starred Tim Thomerson, who at the time was a comedian as well. And it's this really kind of like impressively genuine anti-Nazi alien movie, 1986.
That's so good.
It's really good. It's really interesting. But yeah, if you want to see Biff Maynard get dramatic, which everybody does, I mean, that's what the world wants. I hate the Beach Boys. Let's talk about the Beach Boys.
Why do people like Pet Sounds so much? Because it has echoes in theremin on it, and that's what it takes for people to like a thing?
Yeah, I don't get it. Beach Boys just sound like air coming out of a balloon to me.
Are you more of a Jan and Dean fan?
All right. Is this a... Wait, here you go.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, so you finally get Terry Kaiser unloading, going wild. He couldn't keep up his hippie behavior forever. There's a lot of echoes of Good Burger here with, like, the toxic, you know, takeover of ingestibles.
I feel like Good Burger is probably the last movie like this kind of movie. You know, like, if you go through the history of crazy fun no rules comedies, I think it stops at Good Burger.
I call it best 80s movie of the 90s.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's also food based, like any food based comedy, like in the 80s had a lot of food based comedies, not just Buzz Cola with this, but there's Hamburger the Motion Picture.
Brilliant.
Multiple movies about pizza, you know, and pizza delivery boys, like Lover Boy,
and delivery boys.
Oh, that movie's great. The 80s was obsessed with food.
True.
Junk food in particular.
There was almost... Go ahead.
Because at the time, we had a president who declared ketchup a vegetable.
That's right. Because I was on welfare. My mom and I were in government housing. And they would give you food. You didn't get food stamps. They just give you grocery bags. And they would give you 4 bottles of ketchup and say, here's your vegetable servings for the week.
Ronald Reagan was the greatest president of... all time.
Of the years he was president. All right. The punks keep looking better. Like, their outfits keep getting cooler. Their hair keeps getting better. And if you like this movie, there's a Mexican film called Intrepidos Punks that has similar punk design.
So good.
But they're like...
And like, zombie punks was a thing. Like, Return of the Living Dead also zombie punks. People like seeing... punks that were kind of these brain dead freaks.
I think that was the consensus, is what they were. Like, people in Hollywood, like, you know, the 75-year-old producers in Hollywood just would see punks at the mall and be like, oh yeah, they definitely eat their young, you know, and like And for some reason, that's always how they were treated.
But, because it's weird, because like with heavy metal, you can say, oh, they're Satanists or whatever, things that people were thought misthought that they were about. But with punks, you couldn't draw it to anything because they were so different. Different types of punks, different types of new wavers.
Oh, this is a scene of intense violence.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So this is another scene that was added later, supposedly. So it shouldn't be in the director's cut version, I don't think. And that's Fred Asparagus on the ground. Who has a better name than Fred Asparagus in the history of Hollywood? There's no answer to that question.
There is no answer to this. Ska! Okay,
this is the band The Untouchables, who also did exclusive songs for the soundtrack, but, you know, it's ska, so it doesn't count.
Is this better than the scene with Fishbone and Back to the Beach? Which is your favorite ska on the beach scene in an 80s punk surf
in
comedy?
Back to the Beach, the Fishbone song lyrics are ska, 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 do the Jamaican ska. So that is the worst. So that one is better.
So this is more great. That gross stuff that I was talking about. This movie just really goes for the gross. Yeah. Don't you think, would you agree with me that this movie is the basis for all trauma films? Like Trauma just took this movie and ripped it off a million times.
Yeah.
Like this is a year before The Toxic Avenger. And then they kind of went with the let's do R-rated punk filled gross comedy. You know, like this feels like this part in particular feels like a funny version of a trauma movie.
Yet still, yeah, so, as you say, more intellectual and refined and better made by far, but yes. So here, I think you have the greatest concentration of the punks in the entire film, and Johnny Big Head's triumphant moment. But God, they look so amazing.
What are they eating? Like, when they made the movie, like they can't be real sludge. Like, it looks good though. Whatever it is.
I mean, I think they could be chewing on seaweed.
Oh,
it looks like it. Definitely does. Tom Villard really gives it. Such a shame he died so young. Johnny, this scene has like the most dramatic timing, like the most buildup.
And then you think it could get any grosser. Then have the two characters named Fat Boy Number One and Fat Boy Number Two, and something really gross is about to happen to their giant sandwich.
It's true.
Remember that time we drove to the airport and ate a giant sandwich like that?
We did. We ate like a 3-foot sub.
It covered the driver and passenger seat. It was perfect. It was perfect for a trip.
I feel like they shot this scene for like 2 days. Oh, here we go.
Oh, no. See, it's like now we're getting gross on top of gross.
That's bird feces, brother. Oh, yeah. These look like real fish to me.
Yeah. That's sushi. It was a popular thing in the 80s. It was up and coming.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was real fish. This is the McDorfus scene. This is like a crossover to Joysticks.
I once saw a beautiful woman on the beach feeding Doritos to a bunch of seagulls, and everyone was like wowed by this moment. Uh-huh. And then a bird pooped in her mouth and she ran away in the sand.
You just made Peter Isaacson throw up from that story. I hope you're proud.
Don't feed Doritos to birds. It's going to give them diarrhea.
One time I fed a bunch of Doritos to a donkey out of my mouth, and it was fine. That's a good hat. The hat budget on this movie was out of control.
I bet some of them are Eddie Deason's hats. I bet Eddie Deason like brought his own.
I would love for that to be true.
Supposedly some of these are his own, I think.
Oh, yeah, the ultimate moment. Uh-huh. And what's funny is the Buzz Cola thing is a lot like the Mondo Burger thing in Good Burger. So
mm-hmm.
Maybe that movie's just a ripoff. Oh, no, Johnny Big Head. Don't think, just drink. No,
too
it's over.
Rude.
Oh, Fat Boy Number One and Two, love that bird shit sandwich. I've had several sandwiches in my life, but not very many bird shit sandwiches, to be honest.
No, don't do it. Okay, take a scope down,
all right. Okay, so here's that potentially recycled footage. I'm almost certain that's the case.
That's a good look. That's a good hat.
Eddie Deason just keeps getting better. And of course, we don't want to give it away, but there is the ultimate hat later in the movie.
More Oingo Bango, or Oingo Boingo. Wango Tango.
Wango Tango Bango.
Donnie Doinko.
This is great. Oh, this is Craig Allen Rothwell, Spaz Attack from the Devo videos.
And look at him spazzing and attacking. This is what he did. This was like his thing.
Yeah, so Craig Allen Rothwell, he wasn't in bands as much as he would just go to shows and act like that. And like spaz out, grab his head, flip himself. That was his move. And he was a legend in L.A. Like, if there was a party and Spaz Attack was there, that was the place to be.
Clearly. Look at this.
Yeah.
They love it.
Boingo. Yeah, Biff Maynard and Spaz Attack in the same scene. You don't get movies of this quality these days.
There's so many scenes in this movie of just like every character all at once in one scene.
It's true. So this scene, this very specifically a similar scene in Back to the Beach of total punk chaos.
This is what they did.
But then that ends with the conga line.
And so I've never seen it in real life, but in real life, have you ever seen punk chaos?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, what's actually, the most punk chaos you've seen?
I was at a show in Oxnard, California. I was in Ventura. And some neo-Nazi gang, actually it was a Latino neo-Nazi gang, drove by with an Uzi, and they fired it off in front of the club. And everybody went insane. Like, everyone ran for their lives. So that happened. Does that count?
It's not as funny as the
it wasn't as funny.
In this movie.
They didn't kill anybody
that night.
Well, and then there's a punk show where my friends and I got beaten unconscious by skinheads. Does that count? While we were playing? Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds like punk chaos.
Enough about me. I love that.
This movie really moves at a breakneck speed. Like, there's no downtime.
There's one scene that's kind of more exposition-y, and that's where Peter Isaacson is kind of like delving into the biological situation with the punk zombies, which I think is coming up now.
I like this scene, though. It doesn't slow it down for me.
I like it. No, it's not that it's a bad scene. It's just, it's kind of like the only exposition in the movie where like they're actually trying to explain how you become a punk zombie by drinking Buzz Cola.
Which they don't really need in the movie. The movie would have been fine with that. Nobody cares.
Yeah, this movie does not beg scientific explanations, in my opinion. But it's good to see Peter Isaacson having this much fun. He was so excited to be part of this. You can tell. And then from here, he went on to win how many Academy Awards?
4.
For this movie.
Just every year that he's gave him one, from 1983 to 1986. This is quite a setup you got
here. Thanks. So this is like one of the great like cartoon gags that you see always, but you never see it in a live action film. Punk surfers from the party. We're gonna get into it. Where they're just we'll let him get to it, but it's like a gag from like the Harlem Globetrotters on Scooby Doo and like Daffy Duck and all these characters would do this. But this movie took it to the illogical extreme.
Oh no, don't do it. Oh man.
So I guess Peter Isaacson zanily murders this guy, because I don't see this kid coming back from this. Here we go.
The sound effects in this movie they're great.
I remember thinking how old Peter Isaacson was, and we are definitely older than him now.
This is like a 28-year-old in this movie.
Yeah, this is the more serious moment.
Eric Stoltz is really giving it his all in this part. He's really acting here.
I used to date a girl that looked a lot like Eric Stoltz.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Which is a good look for Eric Stoltz. Yeah, his career was pretty solid for a while. I wonder if he chose to back away from the limelight.
Yeah, maybe. No, my guess is he does like theater or something.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I like. Do you like The Fly Part 2?
I do like The Fly Part 2. It has some very good face melting.
Yeah, that movie's
good. High-end Stoltz.
And he's also in The Wildlife, which is another great 80s insane comedy, which was supposed to be kind of a sequel to Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but not really. And that's got some good punks and just crazy, like Leaving and, man, that movie's great.
I haven't watched that forever. Okay, so here's the gag. So the joke being like, anything is in this body, you know, like that whole... But
oh, what?
That is a butt nasty manta ray, brother. Yeah, so I do think this is the longest single scene in the entire movie. It's the evisceration of the punk.
It's good to slow things down and, you know, ponder life for a second.
Ponder mortality. We're not saying much here because the scene is so filled with drama that you and I are riveted to the screen.
I know, it's really serious. Movies need scenes like this. You need it to, you know, relate.
Can you o-relate, to quote Biff Maynard? So what's great is all these issues of Beach Times, Randall Bennett, the director and writer, has those in his house framed. Oh, and then this scene is still going, basically.
Do you think this is from notes, like studio notes, being like, we need to explain why this cola is making children into punks?
Yeah.
There's nothing in this that even resembles soda. Well, maybe that's it. I don't know.
I like the plastic on the couch. That's a good...
No, that's true.
Nobody does that anymore. It's not like nobody respects couches anymore.
Oh, wait, look, he did survive.
Well, yeah, he's a zombie. You can't kill a zombie just by cutting his chest open. Oh, no.
Ah,
oh!
One of the greats.
Gross. I'm running out. We're running out of time. Look at this stuff. Oh, no.
I'd still try it. I'd still drink Buzz Cola.
Yeah, me too. I would.
Honestly, if you put Tang with milk, it does exactly the same thing.
Wait, it foams over like that?
Yeah, it's like it's toxic waste because I tried to make an orange creamsicle drink by putting Tang and milk together, and it had this insane chemical reaction just like Buzz Cola.
It's just like it was a Diet Coke and Mentos or whatever the soda, or Diet Dr. Pepper, and it would explode.
That's framed in the director's living room.
Wow. Does he look at it every day and knows that he made it in life?
I think it's more like a shrine where he kneels before it.
Oh, I like that.
That's what I would do. This scene has gone on so long that now it's daylight outside.
You know, there's a lot of splaining to do.
There's a lot of splaining. I mean, and let's keep in mind, this is not a complaint. I've never not enjoyed a second of this movie.
She looks good with the padlock around the... It's a good look.
Yeah, she's tough. I would assume she's a gang leader.
Me too.
Oh, and then this is the tragic moment.
Sad.
This is like the Santa Claus scene in Gremlins.
Yeah. Another great movie with punks in it.
If you count the Gremlin as a punk?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
We all do. Yeah, Spike or Stripe. Yeah.
Stripe.
Stripe's a punk. I'm glad they never tried to remake this movie. I'm glad Rob Zombie hasn't done Surf 2.
Yeah, they really kind of dig into the plot here. What's funny is that is her in the photos of Florinda Budnick in the yearbook, and she really does sell the nerd look.
I agree. It feels very ahead of its time. Like it's like a hipster look that would have been up in the late 90s, like some Daniel Klaus character or something. Whoa!
There's areas of LA that still look exactly like this that are unchanged. It's kind of beautiful.
Those are the best parts of LA.
Agreed.
That's why we love Burbank. Burbank is unchanged.
Burbank looks like this scene.
Yeah, yeah. Look, that's like a good place to get a good meal.
A nice cannoli.
A nice cannoli.
I mean, I would be too if my kids were running around town eating garbage and sucking on dead fish.
Man, those Budweisers? Man.
These guys know how to live. Is Budweiser the champagne of beers?
No.
Oh, okay. That's something else? Okay. So a bunch of the lines that Biff Maynard did were ad-libbed, apparently. Like when he says, "What, were you raised by a pair of brown socks?" Like that's all him.
Wow, great line. That looks good.
Took two hands to drink that.
What do you think? Do you think, whoa, Adi's in under the table.
That's my dream.
Do you think this restaurant still exists? Do you think this little hole in the wall is like serving a pizza to somebody?
I would hope so. Or it was probably just made for the movie, but either way.
I don't know. This looks real. Scientific tests and what they claim may very well be true. They're still explaining this cola to us. They really want us to know everything about it.
This movie, like, what's another film that has as much hard science in it as this one?
This and The Right Stuff, probably.
Yeah, those are the top two. Cleavon Little does little in this film, but I wish there was more.
I find him charming. I like him.
It seems like he's enjoying himself.
How could you not? This guy's career is so weird. Like we said, the year before this, he did Blade Runner. Then he does this. What a wild
ride. And then what
was
after that?
He fired his manager. No, I don't know. How can you beat those two? Blade Runner, also punks in that movie.
Yeah, maybe that's in his contract.
I will only be in movies with
punks. I will only work with punks.
Oh, he loves it. He's wearing a Kill 'Em All shirt. Oh, wow. How do they not get sued having the scientist character named Beaker?
Hey, that's a common first name. It's like, you know, Bill or Steve.
It's funny because he kind of looks like Bunsen, but his name is Beaker.
It's true. This guy does a great job, but like opposite Biff Maynard, it's like you don't have a chance. You know, it's like Jake Gyllenhaal with Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain. It's like you're just up against too much.
Oh, leave Jake alone.
This is soda. You really feel the friendship between the two evil dads.
Why don't they make fun soda anymore? Soda got real boring.
Yeah.
There was a time when it was like you had OK Soda and you had Jolt and you had Crystal Pepsi and like.
And Surge.
Science and Surge. And scientists were really working hard on, like, forget the cure for cancer, make crazy soda. And that's what they were doing. And then they've just gave up.
Well, they've kind of funneled that into Oreos and Twinkies now with all the limited edition flavors.
Yeah, that's true.
The new cotton candy Twinkies are exquisite.
Oh, what color are they? Pink?
Pink.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh!
The 80s comedies really loved being at the beach. Like, Hot Moves, Hard Bodies. Like, that was just such a thing of, like, let's have horny antics on the beach.
Even Miami Connection.
Yeah. It just, everyone wanted to be on the beach. That was just where we all wanted to be in the 80s.
Yeah. And now cell phones have replaced the beach. Yeah, sure, but sure, that's it. Too soon for him to go in the water. Biff Maynard.
This movie just feels like one crazy 80s party, you know, like it's just nonstop.
It's true.
It's just so exciting. Hey Zach, weren't you at a crazy like show once where some insane shit happened?
Yeah, because there's a bunch of surf footage here. So let's talk about this. So I was at a metal show in Chicago. Tom Villard, Cousin Chit. I was at a metal show, and in the middle of this band playing, they're called No Funeral. They're really intense metal. This huge pizza man walks in, and he's got like, you know, pizza sauce all over his apron, and he's just screaming in the venue. He's like, "Who ordered the pizza?" Like, while the band is playing, and you could hear him over the band. He was shouting so loud. He gets up on the stage, screams into the microphone, "Who ordered the pizza?" And then he starts dancing alongside the band to their metal. And the guitarist is like back to back with him. And the guy's yelling, "Who ordered the pizza?" And it was like the most 80s party comedy thing I've ever seen in real life. It was amazing.
Oh, man. Pity, pity, yo.
Pity, pity. How did she resist Peter Isaacson's lips?
I know. How wasn't there just like an on-screen and off-screen romance?
I know. Oh no, it's Johnny Bighead. Wait, the only scene where Eddie Deason is not wearing a hat. How do we explain that?
He loves it. I think Eddie Deason has the best smile of any actor in any movie. Like the way when he smiles, it seems genuine.
Yeah, it's true.
That's a happy boy.
He told me that he was excited to take the role because he said, "I read the script and there were so many girls in bikinis, which I love." And that's what he said.
And is this the only movie where he is the star? Other than there's Mob Boss in the 90s where he plays the Mob Boss.
And Beverly Hills Vamp.
Oh, yeah, that movie's great.
Yeah.
But this was the first movie where he was the star.
I think you're right. Beverly Hills Vamp is weird, though, because Eddie Deason says a lot of very offensive stuff. Like, he calls vampires bitches and things like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't expect that. They really make the most of this Oingo Boingo song.
I mean, it was the biggest band they had in this, you know?
Yeah. I searched for this record, this soundtrack, for 15 years before I realized it was never released. I
think
everywhere.
Now's the time to put it out.
That's true.
Whoa.
It's interesting that, yeah, the ski movies and these, it's like there was like probably hundreds of them of just movies that were specifically footage like this. I can't understand personally the physics behind surfing. It just doesn't seem like a human could do that. But then again, I can't touch my toes, so.
So the dads were drinking Miller High Life. That is the champagne of beers.
Oh. So
they switched to it.
Hey! Everybody witness. This is important. There's a geek out there under those waves, and he's trying to fully control the coast. Yeah, and he's doing it with the help of two bogus businessmen.
Do you think there's any possibility that Bill and Ted were even somewhat influenced by these two?
I'm just thinking that it feels very much like Bill and Ted.
I think also John Grise's character of OD in Terror Vision could have been an influence on Bill and Ted as well.
I think so too. Terror Vision, also the great punk Diane Franklin playing a punk in that movie. Great movie.
Yeah, a really great new waiver. And John Grise, who played King Vidiot, the punk in Joysticks, as the greatest metalhead in movie history, OD.
Wow.
Here we go. More science. I want them to explain the science of this.
Whoa.
Reverse bubbles. How is it done?
It's really too bad that Randall Baddett hadn't done more movies. You know?
Yeah. He was the king of fun.
He was like what Charles Laughton was to directing serious dramas.
Yeah.
Randall Baddett
or
was
one serious
comedies.
Drama.
You just get one, that's all you get. It's just one.
But it's the best of its kind.
It's the best of its kind.
Night of the Hunter and Surf 2, neck and neck.
Neck and
look
neck.
At the face Biff Maynard makes right here. That is the face of a true human being.
There's not enough real life people named Biff anymore.
Have you ever met a Biff?
No. Is it short for Bifford?
Definitely Biffaloo.
Biffaloo?
Yeah, they really jam him in. There's so many punk extras in this movie.
Every scene is just full of everybody. Like, there's no scene of just someone alone on the beach looking sad. This ain't no Auntie Anoni.
You know, the first time I saw this movie, I thought it might have been Antonioni. I was surprised. It was
Antonioni? I don't even know how to say his name. I'm a bad paisano.
You are a bad paisano. That's why your headband says that. You know what? If I could have been a punk extra in any movie, I would have chosen Surf 2.
Because it would have been the most fun to see all these different people.
Corinne Bohrer gets to play like kind of reptilian like evil here, which is not her normal. Oh no! It's miserable. He had been transformed. Yeah, go ahead, laugh it up, you guys. You're next. We are now enlightened to realize that if Eddie Deason chooses to be transsexual, it is not a laughing matter. Of course, it's Johnny Bighead who saves the day, because again, I maintain, he is the real protagonist and hero of the film. I love that he just straight fell on his ass and they left it in the movie. All right.
This movie just lost its mind.
I can't imagine a set that would be more enjoyable than this. It's like Voyage of the Rock Aliens tries, but this movie's got it locked.
Too rude.
I wonder if that was an actual explosion that they filmed for the movie. It wasn't.
That sound.
Also, imagine being a 12-year-old kid on the beach watching them shoot this. And all these costumes and everything, it would have been the greatest. Or in our case, like a 40-year-old kid watching this. happy ending.
The sounds he's making some good. It's funny because he's making these sort of Jerry Lewis type, you know, sounds.
And Jerry Lewis was Eddie Deason's hero.
My hero too.
Once again, Johnny Bighead is the hero of the film.
Yep.
Without him, everyone would be dead. Several times. Do they still hold the Buzz Invitational every year?
Probably.
I would think. All right, so.
Oh, the picture of Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, it's hard to read.
That autograph looks kind of real, though the Y is a little off.
I know. Brian started a Jerry Lewis club. How many years ago, Brian?
11 years ago, still going. Once a month we meet. Everything he's ever done chronologically, including TV appearances. We are now at 1978.
Yeah.
Come and join. Let's do it, everybody.
Man, Ruth Buzzy is not taking any shit.
This movie's original title was Surf Trash. That's a pretty good name.
Surf Trash is a great name, and it might have avoided some confusion from people who thought it was an actual sequel.
And then the cat shit on Revenge of the Nerds, it was retitled Surf 2 The Nerds Strike Back.
Oh.
I don't know how far it got on that title, but I heard that that was what it was called once someday, a long time ago. Sometime.
Okay. There's a really fascinating line coming up that Brian and I often discuss.
This feels very Bill and Ted, this line.
Yes. And?
Not yet.
Sexy Maynard.
We're all right.
I like their gold chains that they are wearing.
I know. Were those there before?
Yeah, they've been wearing it the whole movie. It just looks good, you know?
So yeah, that's, I guess, in this world, like the ultimate punishment is to be, have to wear lipstick, basically. Corinne Bohrer wears that same swimsuit, I think, in Joysticks. Which is sad that I know
Eddie Deezer's hat!
Ultimate hat, the king of hats!
Oh, did you see that hat?
Come on, everybody, let's show us that hat again.
Show me that big hat!
America demands the hat. There it is!
That
the Wonder Bread
supposedly
sweater.
That's his actual hat that he brought to set. I believe it.
I think I have to ingratiate myself to him so he can leave me that hat someday.
I love mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is really good.
What a sloppy sandwich he's creating.
Well, everybody's. Yeah.
There's a lot of sloppy eating in this movie.
It really is.
So. Yeah, I'm not so sure. Oh, the line has not come up. Oh, there it was. Those are our festive dads.
I want a sequel called Festive Dads, and it's just those two guys on a road trip just having fun.
I would definitely watch a Biff Maynard Festive Dad movie.
Would it have been great if him and Tim Thomerson made a movie called Festive Dads in like 1987?
I'm going to make sure that didn't happen.
Let's go back in time and make it happen.
And here's the big crane shot, like no expense spared.
Everybody's back. It's like the end of a Wes Anderson movie where everyone's together, everyone's back.
As was intended.
All the people in the whole movie are just...
And then, of course, the Fat Boys cannot resist the festive dads, the sexy festive dads. Beautiful.
Bless their hearts.
So Jim Greenleaf and Fred Asparagus close the movie down with their horny, festive dad chasing. So, there's a lot of bizarre credits in here, like Hot Potato number 1 and 2. But there's others, like The Poor Man is disc jockey and Jed the Fish, those are K-Rock guys, I believe.
I'm guessing Hot Potato is referring to one of the dancing ladies?
Maybe? The Black. Yeah, this was Oingo Boingo's great breakthrough song, Only a Lad, really good. But, so, pound for pound, moment for moment, the most 80s mania, I'd say packed into this movie, followed by Get Crazy. I think those would be the top two. What do you think?
I agree. I think they're the two most 80s heaven movies. Like, if you don't know what the 80s are, if you were born... You know, after the year 2000, or you're an idiot, watch this movie and you'll learn about the 80s. You'll see arcades. You'll see guys eating big sandwiches. You'll see all the great things that the 80s had to offer.
You know, I went to high school for 1 year of the 80s, and I'll tell you, it was exactly like this. Garbage eating punks everywhere. It was an epidemic. I really wish that was true. No, okay, let's talk about, as this winds down, let's talk about our experiences as children encountering punks for the first time. And much like the people who produced movies then, I was amazed. Like, I thought they were a different species.
I was a little scared of them. There was a girl in sixth grade when I was in first grade that had kind of like a punky look.
Uh-huh.
And I found it was wild. I thought it was wild.
Like she'd killed her parents and she was just like living off of their meat.
And then I think in first grade, I was so obsessed with punks that I made a picture of a duck, a punk duck, in art class.
Later, Bubblicious used a punk goose as their mascot. So maybe they ripped that off from you.
Probably.
I just finished my energy drink.
But I went to my first punk show when I was 15 at the Capitol Theater backstage in Olympia, Washington, and it was very exciting. Seeing people just have fun and look different, it was, yeah. It's how you should be all the time.
Yeah, be your own human being. Look, there's the big lie. Soundtrack album on Capitol Records.
Liar.
Sent me on a 15-year goose chase.
They fake Miles Copeland.
He deserved it. So, if you've just watched this version, you might want to check out that there's a completely alternate cut that was the director's cut by Randall Baddett that's also going to be on the same disc.
So, let's watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Let's do it right now.
Okay.
Let's just watch Surf 2 8 times in a row.
I like it a lot.
Okay. Thank you guys very much enjoying this film. If you don't, you're an asshole.